It is an incredible privilege and joy to be here this morning. As Alan said, this is my family. You know, I think I've kind of been watching this morning mainly a lot of the kids in church, because when I was kind of last here, a lot of them were a little bit smaller than they are now. I was thinking it's fun to watch children grow up. There's that whole adventure of letting them grow up and move out and go and live somewhere else and discover different aspects of who they are and enter into the fullness of who God created them to be. And I always look back at my time in White Inch with great fondness and great joy because of the strength of community and family that I experienced here. And you know, I often talk about what it was like to be here, and particularly with Alan and Diane, I just want to honour them, because there are so many times that I've been in a conversation and I've said, it's because of their dedication and their love and their commitment, like you've just been praying, that we would see the goodness of God. And, you know, they could tell you some stories of what it was like to sit with me time and time again as I couldn't see the goodness of God or have any hope for it. And to have them sit with me and believe for that and pray for it has changed me and continues to change me because of that sacrifice that they made. And I know that because they did that with me, they're raising a church of people who will do that with other people and will do that with this community. And it's kind of funny, I'm like, oh, so I really want to advertise me at the start. This is up here not because I'm trying to advertise me, but more because just before we started, I just had a real sense that I was meant to begin with this slide, because you as a church are embarking on a journey of looking at creativity over the next few weeks. And I put this kind of graphic together really as trying to communicate what on earth I was planning to do with whoever chooses to come and be a part of this weekend. But I felt like it was a great image to give you so that you could understand what God wants to do with you as you set off on this adventure of exploring creativity. Because I do believe that creativity changes culture, and that intrinsically is about transformation. And as we were worshipping this morning, I was reminded of a painting I looked at yesterday. If you go up to Byers Road, and there's a little gallery as you walk down. I'm going to breathe. And there's some paintings there, and they're of the shipyards in Glasgow. And as I was worshipping this morning, I was thinking of those pictures. And often the shipyards are painted and looked at from a negative perspective. But this artist was trying to paint the sense of pride that the men had in what they achieved in the shipyards. And we sit right beside where that happened. And a whole nation and empire was built out of the creativity of the men of this community. And day by day, they went and they created something that really did transform the world. They put onto boats using a crane, and I didn't realize when I put those words together, but they look like a crane. And the crane that sits on the Clyde, and it sits on the Clyde as a symbol of our past, but I believe it's meant to be a symbol of our future too. That there's something in the creative DNA of the people of Glasgow that is actually meant to change places and people. And it's interesting that the BBC is the building that's built on that place, because it's a media building. And it may seem completely disconnected, but I just wonder if there's something about what God wants to do inside the creativity of the media houses that is meant to transform the nations in the same way that the ships and the cranes did. When the Commonwealth Games opened, there were lots and lots of things that were brought to the surface and celebrated in that opening ceremony. But one of the most clear things to me was that we were a city and a nation who wanted to celebrate our creativity and our inventiveness. And that is a gift that God's given us. And I don't think it's an accident, because I think it ties really, really easily with the prophetic. Scotland is often referred to as a prophetic nation, and the prophetic and the creativity, I believe, are completely intertwined, because the prophetic has to have an expression, and the prophetic is the way that creativity expresses itself. And so if you look at kind of the way I've put the words together here, imagining and having an encounter and being in the presence of God is what creates a place for us to hear what God has to say, to discover the ideas and solutions that he wants to give us so that we can bring transformation And transformation is about transforming the culture of the people. It is about bringing physical healing. It is about speaking prophetically to people. But the fruit of that is that there is hope, that there is joy, that there is life. And so as we go after the signs and wonders, it's because we want to see the fruit of healthy families and healthy communities. It's because we want to see a city flourishing and being beautiful. And in that psalm that we just looked at in our prayers, there's a verse that I love. It says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And it's that word beauty that I wanted to focus on this morning and look at with you. So I'm going to flick to the first slide. I have to confess that I am way too ambitious this morning. And I'm going to check in. What, are we finished by 12:15? Okay. I promise. You might not like me. I might stop partway through and go, okay, that's it. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here with us, that you are present with us. I thank you that you're not just present because you have to be, but because you've chosen to be. And I thank you that this morning you want to come and touch us. And I just ask that as I speak this morning, that as I bring the words that you've given, that you would touch deep inside, that you would bring beauty, that you would restore beauty to our lives, and that you would restore hope. God, I thank you that this morning is this morning where you want to lift off the garment of heaviness and to restore gladness and joy and to restore a sense of wonder at what it is you want to do in this community and in our lives. Amen. Okay. Beauty for Brokenness. If you had any title for this morning, that was the title that I felt like God wanted to bring to you as a people. And it made me laugh, actually, because I was doing a little search on Bible Gateway because my theology is somewhat lacking. And when I went on a search, I was on a hunt for where this verse comes from. And it made me laugh when I found it because it is one of the core verses that is in your DNA as a church. It's one of the things that God said to you about who you will be and what you will be. And I know that because I was around when we were building that journey and that story. And so at that point, I was like, oh, God, thank you. It looks like we're on the right lines because I know that there is great truth inside of this and it is part of who he's called you to be, that you are a community that's born to bring beauty to this place. And I don't know how much. I was chatting to Shona when I came in. She said that you just put up a big timeline about your story as a church. But there's a little part of that story that I was a part of that I wanted to share this morning, and it was the part to do with this building. Because if you go back, I think it'd be about 15 years ago, can't remember, Alan and myself and Iris, can't remember who else was with us, but we were praying for this community, and we were praying that the goodness of God would be seen on this site and in this area. And as we were walking around, I began to pick up pieces of broken glass and all over White Inch there are still parts of this particular part of the city where we find pieces of broken glass. And they're usually the remains of what happened on Friday and Saturday night thrown around our streets. But as I picked up these pieces of glass and began to just look at them and see the light coming through them, they reminded me a lot of the glass I used to pick up on the beach when I was on family holidays. And to me, it was beautiful. You know, it's broken glass, but there was a beauty in it. And I took it back to my house and I began to play with it. And I created this kind of very simplistic stained glass window. And the title of it was Beauty for Brokenness, and it hung in Alan's study for a while in the manse. And each time I looked at it, it was a promise of what I felt God wanted to do in this community, that he wanted to bring beauty for brokenness. And the interesting part was, it was a piece of intercession that we expressed in a creative way that became a dream for this particular piece of land. And I know that one of the things that you're going to explore over the next few weeks is the breadth of creativity and creative design. And where you are sitting right now is because of God's creativity and because Alan and his team had the courage to partner with God and to dream and to imagine what could be in a place where there wasn't anything. There was a broken building. But the dream that God gave them was not just to create a place of worship, but to create a place for community, a place for families to live. And out of that came these strategies and ideas that built this center. And to me, it's incredible that you can walk into this center, and it is a center full of community things happening. And it has become a heart for this community. And, you know, success and failure are such big words. You know, what makes a church successful? What makes a church plant successful? I think sometimes what you have to do is stand back and look at that big, long timeline. See, isn't it incredible that God has done so many good things? And when you were praying this morning about seeing God's goodness, first thing you have to do is focus on what you have seen. To pray for God's goodness to come, you have to pray from a place of hope and a place of faith. Otherwise, you're just praying out all your discouragement. And I just really want to encourage you to celebrate the journey, not just in this church, but in your own lives, and to look at the incredible beauty that is there. I'm talking to myself too, okay? So I was preparing this, I was like, oh God, because I'm right at the stage where I'm working out, what does my life look like? I came in and chatted to Gary this morning. He's like, so how are you doing? I was like, well, it looks like Aline's life as ever. Like, I'm finishing one thing, not sure what's happening next, have no idea which way I'm looking or going. And the only thing that I know to do is to look at the goodness of God and to keep myself centered on that truth that He really is good. And I think what I've learned over time is it doesn't get any less scary, but there's something more confident and sure that comes inside of you as you've weathered the storm with God, as you've said, I believe in what you're going to do, and you've looked to Him and grabbed hold of all that creative design that He wants to give you. So that'll be slide number one of about, how many did I say, Gary? 28. It's not going to happen. Okay, let's look at the next one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your imagination. You're embarking on a journey to understand and to look at and to explore the creativity that God has given you. And it is a part of who you are. So if you go to Genesis in chapter 1, verse 1, God talks about creating the world, and then He creates you to His design. So right inside of you is a piece of God. And in your DNA is the ability to create. You can't change that. It's in there. The question is, will you have the courage to go and find it? And what does it look like inside of you? So for some of you, it does look like making films and designing graphics or computer designs, things like Stevie would do that some of us go, what? How does that work? We all have different stuff that we understand and get excited by that we can explore and create with. But imagination is God's gifts to us. But the first thing that we are meant to do with that gift of imagination is to meditate on the goodness of God. And to meditate on the goodness of God, we need our imagination. All of what we see around us is because somebody had the courage to imagine, mainly Alan and Diane and the team that they drew around them. This center is here because they had that courage to do that. And God wants to restore our sense of imagination and give us eyes to see exactly what He could do with it. And the next slide has... are brilliant. Okay, imagination gives us a glimpse into tomorrow's adventures and possibilities. It is the window through which we view the future and from which we create ours. When we partner our imagination with heaven, we see as God sees, and the possibilities become infinite. Every possibility begins with the courage to imagine. I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been so many times where I have got roads, if you like, come to a roadblock because I've not had courage to see beyond to what could be possible on the other side. Because all I can see is what's there in front of me rather than what God sees on the other side. And I feel like what God wants to do for each of you as you go on this journey is to give you courage to trust your imagination and to trust that it is God speaking to you. So I was the little girl at the age of 12 in a group of people who was scared out of, I don't know what, because they said to me, we're just going to listen to God and ask him what he wants to do in this community. And I was a good little 12-year-old who'd been brought up in the church, who knew she was a Christian, but I'd never, ever been asked by somebody to listen to God and tell them what he said. It terrified me, because it put me right on the spot where God had to be real and I had to believe that he spoke to me. I don't know if anyone else has been in that situation ever, okay? Once you have confidence that God speaks to you, it's a whole different story. But when you first get asked to do that, it's scary, because you have to have courage to believe that what you're hearing inside your head or seeing isn't just you, but actually God could be there. And I like to think that the movies, it's like our mind is a bit like a movie screen. So if we close our eyes, we can imagine and we can see things. And I used to think that was me making it up. But I believe it isn't. I believe it's part of our design that God gave us our imagination so that we can meet with him and so that we can see him. So the first thing I wanted to do before I said anything else was to have you close your eyes and to practice. So I want you to imagine yourself with God. Some of you might imagine yourself with Jesus. Some of you might imagine yourself with the Holy Spirit. I don't really mind. Whatever is easy for you. Some people find it easy to imagine themselves in the garden, a bit like the Garden of Eden at the beginning of Genesis. And I want you to look around you in that place, and I want you to see what color the sky is, what you're standing on top of. It's almost like you start with a blank canvas and you have to begin to imagine in all the other pieces and the other details. And in that place, I want you to imagine that God has a gift for you. Just ask him what it is he wants to give you, and then let him give it to you. That's your choice. Do you want to receive the gift that he has for you? Papa God, I just release courage in this room. I just release courage to believe that you can meet with them in their imagination, that you can meet with us, that you have good gifts to give us. Okay, what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you or somebody that you feel safe talking to you, and I just want you to share with them where you were, what you saw, and what you felt like God gave you. Okay, I'm going to pull you back. That's kind of hard to do because some of you could talk for a long time, and I realize that there are others of you that it's actually quite difficult to talk to someone in the middle of church. So please, if you didn't talk to somebody in that time or you found it difficult to imagine, let us come and pray for you later and help you to do that. Do not walk out of here feeling like you're the only one that can't imagine yourself with God, because that would be sad. That is the gift that God has given us, to see him, to imagine with him, and then to create with him. And this is where it kind of gets fun, because I'm looking at what I want to teach you about and how long I have, and I'm not sure if I'm going to manage all of it. But let's look at the next slide. Okay, this is the verse of scripture that beauty for brokenness verse comes from. To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Then people will call them oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, in order to display his splendor. This is one of the core verses that I know is part of your DNA as a church here, and it's part of what God has called you to be. And what I believe, if we switch to the next slide, is that one of the keys that God is giving you is the keys of creativity to bring that to this community. Beauty is expressed through creativity, and beauty is expressed through healing. And I feel like there's something particular. When Shona and I met about a year ago and we talked about creativity, we talked about its power to bring healing. And it was one of the key things that I know that she wanted me to talk about you this morning. But I feel like as a church, you've been on, I know you've been on, because I was on this journey with so many of you, just a journey of exploring what does it look like to see God come and touch and heal people in a supernatural and incredible way. And inside of that is not just physical healing, but emotional healing and bringing hope and life back to people. And I think there are keys for you. There are ideas, there are strategies, there are solutions that not just White Inch, but as that prophetic word says, the whole of the nation is looking for. And it can come from just the simplest willingness to imagine with God what he sees, and then having the courage to make it possible. And you know, sometimes it's the simplest thing. I have a picture that sat on my desk at work all year, and it says that it came from Alan. He gave it to me when I first started working here in White Inch. But it says that the greatest Christian revolutions come about not because somebody comes up with something new, but because somebody takes radically something that was always there. And I think sometimes the biggest step of courage is to take hold of something you've been looking at for a long time and continue to believe and continue to pursue it with great courage and great hope. So if I want to turn the heat up on anything to partner with what God was saying to Alan, this is where I want to turn up the heat this morning. And I want to say, you are creative. You have a destiny to bring healing, and it's going to come through your willingness to partner with him with courage to pursue what he has to release. So I'm going to share a little bit of my journey. We're going to flip to the next slide. This is a painting that I heard a testimony about. And I think for me, so much of my journey has been about hearing a story or hearing a testimony and letting it inspire my imagination. And the testimony I heard about this painting was of a woman who had no hope. She had had her doctor look her in the face and say, "You have a brain tumor that is inoperable. You're going to be dead before Christmas. You need to celebrate with your family now." And she walked into a healing room with no hope. And as she stood there, one of the pastors took her and stood her in front of this painting. And as she began to simply just look at this painting, she began to feel something drain out of her ear. Long story short, what the doctor then concluded was that at that point, the brain tumor drained completely out of her ear. It's incredible that God could do that through that tiny, simple choice to have a look at a painting. And it fascinated me because I knew that paintings could talk prophetically about things. I knew that pictures could illustrate something, but I'd never heard a story of how God had healed somebody quite so spectacularly through an image. And because of that testimony and other testimonies, I went on a journey of pursuing it. Why? Because God had spoken prophetic words to me about bringing healing, but also about using my creativity. And I didn't know where else to start, so I decided to pursue this. So we look at the next slide. This is just very simply part of my journey. I went with a group of people to Ecuador, and I ended up, as often happens, being looked to as the, "Well, what are we going to do? Now we're here, what are we going to do?" Like, okay. They're like, "Why don't you do the meeting tonight?" "Oh, there's only 500 people at this meeting." "Okay, what are we going to do?" Well, they're like, could you do something about creativity and healing? I'm like, oh, great. Because at that point, I'd never, ever seen God heal anyone through anything I created. I knew it was possible, and I'd watched lots of other people do it, but I had not personally seen it. So I talked to my team, and we had singers, we had musicians, we had artists, we had a whole load of people, and I said, look, I know that God heals when we trust him and we have faith to create and to bring a word of knowledge and to very courageously say, I believe God wants to heal. And I had this lovely guy from Switzerland, he's now married to one of my old roommates, and he'd never done this before either. And so he trusted me, and he drew this little picture of this eye, and as can only happen in somewhere like Ecuador, he said, does anyone have eye problems? God would like to heal them. And everyone in the room, if I said if anyone has eye problems, God wants to heal them in the room, how many of you would come forward? Be honest. Okay. How many of you are wearing glasses who didn't put your hands up? I'm wearing contact lenses, and I don't know how many times I've sat in a room, and it's never occurred to me that God might want to heal my eyes. In Ecuador, they don't think like that. They're just like, God wants to heal eyes. Great. So he had a queue, kind of like, we'd stretch from here to the front of the center. And we didn't really want to be there all night. So he just got them to look at the picture. He hardly said a word because he didn't speak Spanish anyway. And one after another, their eyes kept getting healed. Like, and I don't know who was more surprised. The Ecuadorians, probably not. My friend Daniel, absolutely. Because he was like, what's going on? And it's interesting, because I came away from that trip amazed at how many people God healed, but still feeling like God had never healed anyone through anything I'd created. And this is where I feel I'd missed the point. Because if we go and we look in Scripture, I'm going to jump, Gary. You're not going to let me. Can we jump to slide 10? It's not you jumping around, is it? Oops. We keep jumping. Just flick through them. We'll come back. Yeah, okay. If we look through Scripture, we discover that God heals in a multitude of ways. And I think what I missed in that moment was that there were people being healed by creativity. It's just it wasn't the kind of creativity I was looking for. I was expecting to show up, God to show up and heal someone because I sang a song or because I drew a picture, but it actually looked a bit different. I'm going to quickly take you through this little tour of things that happened in Scripture. So here's one, Moses. If you go to Numbers, it says, Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, what does it say? He lived. Okay, what is a bronze snake? It is a sculpture. What on earth made Moses believe that if he did that, people would get healed? You know, if God said to me, Aline, go out into the middle of White Inch, take some clay and build a statue of a snake and get people to look at it, I would feel really weird. But God moved through the sculpture and he touched and he did heal people. Okay, I'm going to go really fast. The next slide. David. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and he would play. The relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. What is actually causing the evil spirit to leave? It's David partnering with God in worship and believing in faith that something's going to happen and God is bringing freedom to Saul. There's a couple of examples from the Old Testament. If we jump to the New Testament and we look at Jesus, Jesus was someone who always said that he only did what he saw the Father doing. And in Matthew chapter 12, we read about him with a man, and he says, stretch out your hand. And when he stretched it out, it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. What was it that Jesus did that enabled him to know that when he said to the man, stretch out your hand, that it would actually result in healing? And this is where I come back to my Ecuador story. Because right in the middle of that same service where there were 500 people and I had to preach and run the meeting for the night, at the end of that, there was a woman who came forward for prayer, and she was standing there with a completely broken finger. Like, she couldn't move it. It was just, like, floppy. And she wanted me to pray for it. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, God, what do I do? Like, how do I pray for this finger? Because it was going to be blatantly obvious whether God healed it or not. And in that moment, I remembered this little verse of Scripture where Jesus says, it's not this one actually, but Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. So the only thing I knew to do is to say, well, Father, what are you doing? And I had just had this simple little picture in that little movie screen imagination mind that you all used at the beginning of today, of Jesus kissing someone, kissing their finger better. How many mums are in here who've done that with their kids? Let me just kiss it better. And I felt like that's what God wanted to do. Is that a creative idea? Okay, that is part of creativity. It's believing in the creativity of God to have a go at something. So I just simply asked her permission. Please may I kiss your finger? I don't think they care in Ecuador as much, to be honest. But she said, yes, you can kiss my finger. And what did God do? Completely restored her finger. But I came away, and I want you to hear this, I came away from that adventure feeling like I'd not seen God heal anyone through my creativity. And I think I had a wrong concept of what God meant by creativity. Because I think what God is looking for is people who will create with him however he wants them to do that, and whatever that looks like. And it's about having the courage to imagine what God wants to do. I have another friend who, on her mission trip, had previously, this still blows my mind, because my imagination is good, but hers is kind of something else. She'd imagined herself in heaven in the spare parts room, where she found lots of spare body parts when we were at school, just on an adventure one day. So she's on her mission trip, and a woman comes up to her who has no eyeball. There is nothing there. And what does she do? Well, she's a bit like me. She says, okay, well, Father, what are you doing? And she imagines herself back in the spare part room that she'd been to before in her own prayer time, and she picks out an eyeball, and she pops it into the woman's eye, and what appears in front of her? A completely beautiful new eyeball. It absolutely blows my mind, but all I can stand back from it and say is, well, what did Jesus do? Jesus, every single time, only did what he saw his Father doing. So we look at the next scripture. This time a blind man is brought to Jesus. What does Jesus do with him? Well, this time he takes him outside the village and he, read out, what does it say? He spat. Okay, Alan creatively feels like Jocelyn's eyes need healing, walks her outside into the cafe and spits in her eyes. I think we would all have a problem with that, okay? Jesus has... Jocelyn, would he do that? Would he do that to you? Depends whether he wants a black eye himself afterwards. No. Anyway, Jesus spat on his eyes. The only thing I can conclude is that that's the creative strategy that God gave him for bringing healing to that blind man. And, you know, I've heard people give incredible messages and sermons about why Jesus healed in particular ways. Like, why did the man have to pick his mat up? And, you know, and there's some great theology about why that happened. But for me, I like to keep things quite simple. And I just think he trusted his Father. He didn't ask lots of questions and try to get all the details. He just believed that what God was showing him was what he was meant to do, and he had the courage to do it. Here's another blind man. If we go to the next slide. Okay, you would think that Jesus would have learned by now that spitting in men's eyes is what heals them. But no, because there isn't a formula. You know, I think God gives us creative strategies that are for the long term, yes. But I also think he requires us to stay in relationship with him and keep on asking. So in this case, he spits on the ground and he makes mud, which he rubs into the man's eye. And that brings healing. It is about relationship with God, and it is about being willing to take a risk. And whether it's about healing or whether it's about bringing a new community building into the center of community, or it's about processes at work or how to deal with a discipline issue with a child in your school, whatever it looks like, maybe it's a family issue, just how to create peace and harmony inside your home for more than 5 minutes, God can give us creative strategies. And they might look strange to us, but they might just be the key that unlocks the solution that we need. Jesus said on the next slide that we were to go and preach the gospel to all creation, and that there would be certain signs that would accompany those who believed, that the sick would get well when we met with them. And I believe Jesus is still doing that today. And he does it in wonderful supernatural ways where we reach into heaven and eyeballs appear, or I'm going to tell you a story in a minute that from a month or so ago. But this is another one. We flick on to the next slide. No, we'll go on to the next one. is way too ambitious. I'll learn. Okay, this is my friend Sarah, and she's a dancer. I don't know how many of you love to dance, but she lives to dance and lives to be in the presence of God and worship. Personally, I would get bored after a while, I'll be honest, but it's what she loves to do, and it's what she was born to do. And she had a young couple who came in to visit her in the healing rooms. They didn't have their daughter with them because she was too sick to come, but they had a photograph of her on a keychain kind of thing. And Sarah said, well, why don't you give that to me and I'll dance with it and I will intercede and I'll pray. And she did that, and then she gave it back to the family and they went home. And I think it was about 6 months later, they came back to visit the healing room, but they had their daughter with them. And what had happened is they'd taken that keychain home and they'd given it to their daughter. And over a period of time, she'd been completely healed of the leukemia, which is really fun. Because for me, there's one thing when someone's in front of you, it's a completely different thing when the person isn't there. But there was something about Sarah in that moment saying, well, God, what can you do? Because she couldn't pray with the girl who was in front of her. She was a gifted dancer, and she partnered her ability to dance and to worship in the presence of God with this creative idea to take hold of the keychain. And in that moment, God partnered with that. And the question that people always ask as well, you know, was that God's idea or was that Sarah's idea? And my answer is kind of, well, does it actually matter whose idea it was? Because I think God wants to partner with us. He let Adam and Eve name the animals. He gave them a job to do. And I think sometimes we get stuck at the, is this God's idea or is this my idea? Because if it's my idea, God's not going to turn up. That's not true. Because if you have a great idea that's inspired by wanting to see the goodness of God to come, you have to trust that God's going to turn up and partner with your idea. Whose idea was it to build the temple? It was David's idea. But God decided to say yes. He just didn't let him build it. So we can have great ideas too. And there doesn't have to be this separation of, well, that's God's idea or that's mine. God wants to partner with us, and his desire is to bring healing to people. So we need to wrap this up somehow. Okay, let's flick forward to slide 20. Do you like all the moving things we're not doing in the middle? You can keep going. So you're going to get to silly line drawing. There we go. Okay. This is a scribble that I did in about 1 minute flat, because the person who was leading the meeting was asking their team to come and to give words of knowledge for healing. And I'd kind of forgotten. I'd been too busy doing a million other things. And so I'm sitting actually just like this lovely gentleman at the back is trying to make the PowerPoint work. And I'm like, oh, flip, I've got to draw this picture. I've not done it. So I very quickly draw this picture because it's the first thing that comes to my mind. God wants to heal knees and make them happy. And so as I'd done a million times before, it feels like I just said, I feel like God wants to heal knees and make them happy. And there were about 12 people. This is in France in June. I had about 12 people come and stand with me, all of whom had different levels of knee pain. And because I've practiced with God so many times and seen him heal creatively, I just said, because I just felt like it's what God wanted to do, just pass the picture around, put it on your knees, laugh, and then dance. And these lovely people, I love the French people, they were just brilliant. They went for it. And they, you know, they're all levels of ages. And they just put this picture on their knees and started to jump around and laugh. And if they weren't laughing because they were told to laugh, they were laughing because they were laughing at one another. But in the midst of it, I started to say to people, well, you know, what's God doing? You know, is the pain leaving? And, you know, sure enough, one by one, people start to say, well, yeah, the pain is leaving, or I couldn't bend like this, or I couldn't do this. And then this one lady came to me and she said, my knees don't feel rusty anymore. And they're like, this is France. My French is pretty poor. So I grabbed someone to help me translate. And she started to describe how, as a small girl, she'd been a dancer, but she'd been put on point really soon, and she'd damaged her knees so that she'd had to have surgery, and they put metal screws into her knees. And ever since, whenever it was damp, she felt like her knees were rusty. And she'd been in my dance workshop in the morning, and I did a dance workshop. That's hilarious in and of itself, but anyway. Yes, don't trust your friends. That's what that one says. Anyway, this woman was in the dance workshop, and she just had this incredible moment of really discovering freedom from the pain that she'd suffered for years of not being able to dance and worship. And she just really found peace in that, actually, I'm happy to be in worship even if I can't dance. And that had been incredible. But then she began to describe to me how she couldn't feel the metal screws in her knees anymore. And I literally watched her for the next 48 hours, and she never stopped dancing. And to me, it was just, you know, I've seen people healed, but I've not seen the delight and joy that comes, and the incredible beauty. And it was a real picture of me of beauty for brokenness. And I'll be completely honest, I didn't do anything big and spiritual to get there. But I did spend 5 or 6 years consistently pursuing God in the confidence that if I kept acting in faith, that he would bring his goodness. And that's really all we can do, is to consistently make the choice to look for his goodness and to pursue it. So, okay, we're going to click forward a few slides. We can flip forward. Not this one. That's a good video too. We're not watching it today. I'm going to come back to this slide. It says, imagination gives us a glimpse into tomorrow's adventures and possibilities. It's the window through which we view the future and from which we create ours. When we partner our imagination with heaven, we see as God sees, and the possibilities become infinite. Every possibility begins with the courage to imagine. And what I want you to do right now is to have courage to imagine. And I'm going to have you watch a little video, which is on the next slide. I might want to, can we pull that door? Does it pull to make it a bit darker? But as you watch this video, I believe that every form of creativity speaks. And the words combined with the music in this is challenging and it's powerful. I knew I was going to use it and then watched it last night, and it completely destroyed me because it impacted me so much as I watched it. So just watch it. And what I want you to do is to be asking God, what is it you want me to have courage to imagine you doing that will bring beauty for brokenness where I am? Okay, go for it. Is it playing? It's always, oh, here we go. I just need sound.
What time is it? Shakespeare said it well. All the world's a stage, and every man a player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. What time is it? This is our time. This is our moment. This is our season on the stage of life. What will you do with it? How do you discover what it is that you are meant to do? That something inside of yourself. What time is it? This is our time. What time is it to you? Is it a time to build or to tear down? Is it a time to stay or to go? Is it a time to invest or to withdraw? A time to wait or to go? A time to settle or to pioneer? A time to embrace or to release? A time to defend or to attack? A time to study or to teach? Time to buy or to sell? A time of war or a time of peace? A time to sow or to reap? A time to give or to receive? A time to conceive or to give birth? A time to serve or be served? Is it a time to be willing to live or a time to be willing to die? This is our moment. This is our time. What will you do with it? If we don't do something with it, someone else will. Millions are ready to take this moment. Millions are ready to jump in. This is our time. This is our stage. What time is it?
What time is it? That is the question that I want to leave you with this morning. And as we slip on to the final slide, welcome back, children. Sorry, I'm still talking. Beauty for brokenness. You were born to create. It is your time. And however you create or however you pursue what you're imagining and what God's showing you, he wants to partner with you in faith to see the impossible become possible. And it begins with where we prayed today, with seeing the goodness of God, with celebrating the goodness of God, with remembering some of the stories that I've shared with you, and then going into that secret place with God and just asking him to dream with you, asking him to imagine what could be possible, bringing to him the situations where you want solutions and you want answers, where you need his creativity, whether it's somebody like I've shared this morning who's looking for physical healing, or it's a problem at work or something with your family, or just how to lead a church. You know, he's interested and he wants to give you solutions. So how do I land this other than to just pray for you? So just quickly, let me pray for you and then I'll invite individuals who want more prayer just to come and receive. So Papa God, I thank you that this is our time, that this is our stage, that this is our moment in life, that there is no mistake there. And I just release into this room that new ability to imagine in a new way. God, I pray if nothing else that what we would take away with us this morning is hope to dream, hope to imagine, and an understanding that creativity is way bigger than we ever imagined. And God, I just ask that you would give us the gift of courage, that you would give us the gift of courage to pursue what you show us, or even just to begin to ask you to show us what it is you see. In Jesus' name, amen.